Again, it is great to see you this morning. I hope everybody has had a great week last week. But just in case you didn't, guess what? Today's a new day. This is a new week. And we started out the right way in worship to our Heavenly Father. I am so thankful for those, again, who may be visiting with us. I'm so thankful for those who are tuned in still online. And I am thankful for those who are able to be here today in person. This year, we are talking about elevating ourselves spiritually, elevating ourselves when it comes to our walk with God. That means not only does my relationship with God grow, then my role as a father grows, my role as a husband grows, my role as a minister, my role as an elder. And you fill in your life, right? We elevate ourselves in everything that we do. When I think about someone who elevated himself and elevated the kingdom of God, literally the physical kingdom of God, that is, I think about King Hezekiah. Jeff came and read to us from 2 Chronicles, where our study will be today. But he also mentioned in his prayer about how God has given us great examples like King Hezekiah. Folks, there were a lot of bad kings in Judah and Israel. And then there was Hezekiah. There were some good ones along the way, but I believe Hezekiah, through it all, probably did and accomplished as much as anybody during that time from a spirituality standpoint. And one thing he's going to do, as you will see in 2 Chronicles 29, he is going to rededicate the temple. He is going to reopen the temple, if you will. And we'll get to that in a moment. But I want to focus on the word temple for just a moment. When we think of temples, I spent Wednesday night reading to you about Solomon's temple. The temple that his father, David, had the plan to build, but then Solomon carried through and built. That temple was immaculate. This is the same temple we're talking about later here now in Scripture. But when I think of that temple, it was gold everywhere. I'll have a digital drawing of it on a slide in a minute, but it wasn't a huge building. It had sections of it that were very tall, but inside that temple was what we call the Holy of Holies, right? Well, what the Bible calls the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. That holy place, there is where the Ark of the Covenant sat. It's the same thought process as the tabernacle. And there in the Holy of Holies was a room where, that had two angels hand-carved out of olive trees. One wing touched one wall. It came to the middle of the room, and then the other one came to meet the opposite angel's wing, and then it touched the other wall. Again, they were hand-carved out of olive trees, and then after that, they were all overlaid in gold. And so when I see a temple like that, or when I read about a temple like that, it reminds me of how precious Solomon's temple was. But if you fast forward to where we are today, we don't go to a temple and worship anymore. This is a very nice building, and the temperature is very nice to me today. These pews are very comfortable. We have, a great building for acoustics and a lot of great things, but folks, at the end of the day, this is a building. When we come to worship God, what we must remember is that the temple today, that's our bodies. We house the Spirit of God. We house God. In fact, Paul wrote a warning to the church at Corinth who they were violating their bodies, therefore they were violating God's temple. Paul writes it in this context, 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You want to talk about elevate. David had this mindset. I dwell in a home, but God dwells in a tent. So I'm going to build him a home. I'm going to build him a temple. Solomon carried it through. We're going to talk about the temple in just a moment where they had just made a mockery of it. But when I read 1 Corinthians 6 and I think of the word elevate, I've got a responsibility in housing God. What a privilege it is to house God. What a privilege it is to have His Spirit dwell in me. But at the end of the day, what do we do? We take and we vandalize the temple. Jesus doesn't like vandalism of the temple. He doesn't like the temple to be a mockery. In fact, in Matthew 21, it's recorded in verses 12 and 13. "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" The temple has always mattered to God. Do we treat our bodies, our minds, our souls that way today? Well, in order to illustrate this, again, I want to talk to you about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah's reign is discussed in several passages throughout the Bible. When you're reading through Kings, you'll see Hezekiah. That'd be 2 Kings 18 through 20. When you're reading through Chronicles, you'll hear about Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 29 through 32. When you read the book of Isaiah, you'll hear about Hezekiah. Isaiah 36 through 39. He's also mentioned in Proverbs 25. He's mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, Hosea, and Micah. Pretty important king to me to be mentioned that many places and that many times. Hezekiah, just a little bit of factual information about him. He served as king of Judah from approximately 715 to 687 B.C. He began his reign at the age of 25 years old and reigned for a total of 29 years. Hezekiah, this is what he did. He sought to remove all the false gods. His father Ahaz was not a good man. He sought to remove all the false gods from the land. He destroyed all the high places of the pagan worship in Judah. In fact, in 2 Kings 18:4, which noted there, he removed the high places and broke the pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. And he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the people of Israel had made offerings to it. God's people, you know what they were doing? Making a mockery of worship. Making a mockery of the temple. Making a mockery of the things. They had set up high places to serve false gods. They were bowing down and worshiping and offering gods to the serpent that Moses set up in the wilderness to remind them of where they had been. They were worshiping it. They were making offerings to it. So Hezekiah comes in and cleans house. He says, enough is enough. And I admire that so much about him. He also achieved military victories over the Philistines. He remained in the land even after Assyria had defeated the northern kingdom of Israel. He also had a tremendous prayer life. He defeated Sennacherib and the Assyrian army when no one else could. But I suggest to you, one of the most important things, all those good things Hezekiah did, one of the most important things that he did was he honored God through the repairing of the Jewish temple that had been closed during the reign of his wicked father, Ahaz. Could you imagine? Ahaz comes, his father now, and he closes down temple worship. We've got these high places. We've got the Asherah poles. We've got the serpent. You pick your poison. You pick your place. You go and worship. That was kind of the attitude of God's chosen people. And He closed down the temple. So what did Hezekiah do? He opens it back up. That included a renewal of the work of the Jewish priests and sacrifices and celebrations of the Passover. Again, King Solomon's temple. It's a great temple. 2 Chronicles 28, though, I want you to listen to this. Beginning in verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, Hezekiah's father now, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, as his father David had done. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made molded images for the Baals. He burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now think about Solomon's temple that he built for God. How immaculate it was. King Ahaz comes along, and what does he do? He shuts it down, and he does all these vile things that we just read about. And so the temple meant nothing to him. Worship to God meant nothing to him. All these things that David and his forefathers had done, it meant nothing. These are God's chosen people. And as awful as that sounds today, right? The question must be asked, what are we doing to God's present day temple? You know what a lot of us need to understand? That we need some revival. We need revival in the church. I mean, face it, the church was shut down as far as being able to physically gather and everything else. We were shut down. You know, and right now things are just starting to open back up. Again, I'm not saying it was a bad reason. I mean, there, you know, a sickness and all. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't ever want to do that again. But what happens when we shut down? Sometimes our prayer life starts to shut down. That's part of the temple, right? What did He say? The temple, Jesus said the temple should be a house of prayer. Sometimes our temples, us, we shut down our prayer lives. Sometimes we shut down reading from the Word of God, right? Sometimes we shut down checking on others and serving others. Sometimes we check out on worship. It became real easy to sit in front of a screen and probably get distracted, if we're honest. So what do we need today? If I were going to elevate anything today, and I'm glad I found that slide that has that word written on there very big, I would elevate revival. It's time for the church of Christ to wake up and rise up. And let's put our armor on. How can we find revival? What can we find out about revival today? Well, I believe we can find out a lot of it in 2 Chronicles 29. I want you again to be in 2 Chronicles 29. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at what happened as Hezekiah opens up this temple. Start with me now in 2 Chronicles 29, what Jeff read to us, verses 1 and 2. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now, remember, we read 2 Chronicles 28, 1 and 2, a moment ago. Ahaz did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. But verse 2, Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now, with that, we're going to see that because of his mindset that we're going to do things the right way. We're going to elevate God. Isn't it sad that they built Ahaz and others built high places and they elevated these false gods? I think sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, we elevate some false gods in our temple as well. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. But they elevated these high places to God, to false gods. Hezekiah said, no way, we're tearing that down and we're elevating Jehovah God. And that's what we've got to do today. So, the very first thing I want you to see, if today you're thinking about your life, and that's what this should be, right? A time of examination. We think about our life, where it is right now, and where we are as God's temple, as God's people. Where am I right now? Well, maybe I'm struggling a little bit. Maybe I've shut God out a little bit. Maybe I closed down the temple. God, you can't come in right now. So what do we need to do? It makes logical sense. The first thing Hezekiah did, he reopened. Read with me 2 Chronicles 29, verses 3 through 5. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. So the very first thing Hezekiah did was reopen the doors. Ahaz, maybe he put a big lock on them. And maybe Hezekiah marched up there with that key and he opened that lock and he pulled that chain off and he blasted those doors open and he said, no more will we worship false gods, we will worship Jehovah. The very first thing, if I were going to reopen again my life, my temple to God, is I must reopen my heart. We got to reopen our hearts. Do you remember when David sinned with Bathsheba? In both of those passages about Ahaz and his son Hezekiah, we learn about their father David. He had done the great things he had done, right? David was a man after God's own heart. He was not a perfect man, though, and he had an affair with Bathsheba, who became pregnant. And that was a lot of mistakes right there on top of things. And so what did he do? He tried to send Uriah home, tell him to go in and be with his wife, and then I'm going to congratulate him on being a father, and nobody will ever know. Well, that didn't work. So then he had to get him drunk. Now he'll be drunk. He'll go in a drunken stupor. He'll go home. He'll sleep with his wife. Congratulations, Uriah. You are going to be a father. That didn't work. So he put him on the front line, knowing that he wouldn't survive. And he was killed. So David sent for Bathsheba and she became his wife. Ultimately, she became the mother of Solomon. But at the end of the day, David closed the doors. A man after God's own heart, he closed his heart. At least for a moment. So don't sit there and think it can't happen to us, right? It can. We can close off God. We can close the doors to the kingdom. We can close the doors to the temple, to the heart of God. So what happened? Along came Nathan. And Nathan had a conversation with David. And he said, David, there was a rich man who could have any sheep he wanted. And I mean, this man could have bought any sheep, could have had any sheep there was, any color, any whatever. He said, but then there was this poor man who had this one sheep. And he loved that sheep so much. In fact, he would let that sheep eat things that he would eat and do things with him and enjoy time with him. And you know that rich man came and he stole that poor man's sheep? David was furious, remember? He was furious. He's like, we're going to make this man be repaid back four times what he had done. And Nathan, what guts, right? to look at the king of Israel and said, David, you are that rich man. Wow. It hit David right between the eyes. And so he penned these words, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken, you think he's miserable right now, may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. In other words, God, open my temple heart back up. You see, sometimes in life, no matter how good we are and how faithful we are, we can that quick drift off into a world of sin. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may not rub his little face on like a cat does on your leg. Purr around you. That's not what he's wanting to do. The Bible says, Peter said, he wants to devour us. I picture that lion who's just eaten that gazelle, gross alert, with that blood and everything else dripping in his mane. That's Satan coming after our souls. And what do? Sometimes we close the door to God and open up the door to Satan. Today, it's time to create in us, God, please, a clean heart. Reopen our hearts. Reopen the temple doors. But secondly, what did Hezekiah do? I think this is such a powerful point. He removed the trash. Look at 2 Chronicles 29, beginning in 3 and going through 5 again. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors, that's the reopening there, of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. He said, remove the trash. Get rid of the junk. Man, what a great sermon, right, that Hezekiah was writing. Inside Ahaz, I mean, you know how it goes. Let's say that we had a room and we were going to use it to store stuff. You know what that's ultimately going to be? A junk room. Because we're going to think, hey, this might be something I might need later, and we're going to put it in there. It might be the garage. It might be a spare room. It might be a shed. It may be whatever. But ultimately, a lot of junk just comes in there. Ahaz was using the temple to store junk. Solomon's temple, how beautiful it was, right? Ahaz is using it to store junk. And so what does Hezekiah do? The natural process, reopen the doors. And he opens that door and he sees all that trash, all that, as the King James said, rubbish. He sees all that junk in there. And what did he say? He said, get it out of here. If we're going to reopen the temple of our Lord, if we're going to reopen our hearts to God, guess what we got to do? Remove the trash. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now let me tell you something. I'm not a runner. I know that shocks no one. But I know runners, you watch the Olympics, you see they have little shorts on, and they're very thin, and they have really tight, you know, shirts. What they're trying to do is run with as few clothes on as possible. Why? So that they have nothing slowing them down. They're trying to take every advantage of every sprint, of every long distance, or whatever it is, so that they have every opportunity to not be slowed down. Paul knew that, or whoever the Hebrew writer was, knew that, and he said this. He said, get rid of the weight that's weighing you down. I've used this illustration a lot. Some may have not heard it before. If you have heard it, just bear with me. I love watching strongman competitions. Still to this day, Bo and I like to watch Brian Shaw and some other guys on YouTube. We love watching World's Strongest Men. It inspires us maybe to go in there and try to get hernias. But at the end of the day, I was watching one time, and they had some strong guys on there. At least they were bodybuilders and such. Lou Ferrigno and several others who played the Incredible Hulk. Those of you who are my age or thereabouts. But Franco Colombo was on there. Franco Colombo was not a real tall guy, but he was a really thick bodybuilder type guy. And he was running a race, and they had, it was a strongman competition, and they strapped their backs with refrigerators. They put refrigerators on their back. I had coaches tell me before, Terry, you look like you're running with a refrigerator on your back. I get it. They really were. Okay? And they fire the gun. And they're trying to see who's the fastest guy that can run this race or this sprint with this refrigerator on their back. And so they take off running. Franco Colombo's running. And his leg breaks. Yeah, it's gross. But it happened right there. Bam! Broke. He went down. You know why? Because he was running with a refrigerator on his back. The Hebrew writer knew that. He warned him a long time ago. He said, get rid of the weight that holds you back, that breaks your legs, that keeps you held down. Boy, there's all kinds of trash, right? The Hebrew writer also said, which so easily traps us. Somebody told me one time that in some jungle somewhere, if you wanted to catch one of these wild monkeys, you can take a gourd, drill a hole in it, put a banana down in it. The monkey will go and he'll see the banana. He'll reach in and he'll never let go. His arm is trapped. All he's got to do is let go. But he wants the banana so bad he doesn't let go, or whatever fruit it may be. The devil's that way with us. He easily traps us. It's because sometimes we won't let go. We've got all this trash entered in. And let me tell you, folks, they got about 18 cameras on them now. They got them in my size font. I still have to get my glasses out. But, man, I can pull up this little bird on here called Twitter. And I can fill my mind, the temple of God, with so much junk. I can pull up Facebook, the blue with the white F on it. I can pull that little app up right here. And after a while, I can scroll through there and I can fill my heart, my mind, my God's temple up with so much junk. And that's just two of them. There's the Instagrams, the Snapchats. I don't have all those, but I do have Instagram, but not some of the others. Or then we can just search on the internet, or we can fill in the blank, right? You know, it's something, though, real easy. Apple has done, or whoever you have has done, I can hold down on that, and then it highlights the little bird. And then if you look, black says search, black new tweet, black new message, black capture, black add to home screen, black share app, and then in red it says delete app. Boy, I could just delete that, couldn't I? And get rid of the trash. I could remove a lot of the trash by just clearing up a few apps on my phone. Reopen the doors. Remove the trash. and repurify yourselves. You know, we're trying to get back to a sense of normalcy around here, so I'm preaching long. 2 Chronicles, y'all thought I was coming to an end. I thought Joseph was getting a little squirmy over there. Joseph, I got two more points, brother. 2 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 5. And it said to them, I know we've read this now three times, but it all flows into what we're saying. Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves. Sanctify, or there's the word repurify, I'll talk more about that in a moment. The house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken Him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on Him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, and put out the temples, and have not burned incense or burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that you should minister to Him and burn incense. And then I have the first part of verse 12. Then these Levites arose. I didn't read the rest of it. I just have dot, dot, dot. Here comes Hezekiah, and he says, I want you to reopen the doors, verse 3. Then he tells them, or verse 4, then he tells them in verse 5 there, I want you to get rid of the junk, get rid of the trash. But then he says this. He says, I want you to sanctify yourselves. I used repurify because it stuck with my R theme, okay? I guess I could have used re-sanctify, but purify, we understand a little bit more than sanctify. He says, I want you to repurify yourselves, right? And they got up and they done it. They got up and they did what was commanded. I think that's very, very applicable to us hearing that today. We need to get up and do. We need to not just reopen, not just remove. Listen to what Paul said. He said, to abhor that which is evil, but cling to that which is good. It's not enough just to get rid of evil. We've got to fill it with good. And Hezekiah wrote that same formula in 2 Chronicles 29. He said, reopen, yes, reopen your hearts to God. Reopen the doors of the temple. Remove the trash. He said, but you can't just get rid of the junk. You got to fill it with good. Paul said this, Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. We can open up our hearts to God, say, here I am, God, serve. I'm ready to serve you. Take control of my life. I'm getting rid of the trash. But if I don't go through that next step of making sure I'm purified through the blood of Jesus, then my heart's only going to fill back up with evil. The temple is only going to be overrun by evil. But then there's one last point. As we get ready to finally close here, once we do that, it's time to rededicate. 2 Chronicles 29:18-22. Then they went into King Hezekiah and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord. The altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz in his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified. And there they are before the altar of the Lord. Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bulls, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, they killed the rams and sprinkled the blood on the altar. They also killed the lambs and sprinkled the blood on the altar. I read all that because that's a lot of blood. A lot of blood. You see, the temple, as beautiful as it was, at times it was a very bloody scene. What does it take to reopen, remove, repurify, and rededicate? It takes a lot of blood. It takes a lot of blood of the Lamb of God. In fact, on the cross of Calvary, He gave all His blood. The doctors and scientists will tell you that there was a great chance that Jesus, His body was losing so much blood and it had to pump at such a high rate, and He was so exhausted and so distraught and everything else that His heart literally could have exploded. I don't know. That may just sound good for a sermon. But at the end of the day, one thing I'm confident of is Jesus Christ gave all His blood so that your temple and my temple can be rededicated today. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the temple, right? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, like Ahaz was, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I started this lesson out in 1 Corinthians 6, where in the context there, they were dealing with some sexual immorality type sin. But Paul told them and warned them there, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? Then from there I went back to Matthew, where Jesus was upset that the temple was being made a mockery of. And He drove the money changers out, turned the temple, or turned those tables over, and was cracking whips and sending them out of there. That same Jesus, He came and He gave up all His blood so that we wouldn't make a mockery of our bodies and our temples today. Today, it's time to reopen the doors if you close them. It's time to get rid of the junk, get rid of the trash. It's time to be repurified, re-sanctified. It's time to rededicate yourself to Jesus Christ. If you're not a child of the King, allow Him to enter into your life by you entering into the world, the waters of baptism. If you are a child of the King and you've closed the temple down, let's do all those things to rededicate our life right now as together we stand and sing.